Respect is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Heidi Murkoff, and I'm a mom on a mission to help you know what to expect every step of the way. There's no more essential item to buy before you bring your baby home from the hospital. In fact, the hospital won't let you leave without it. A car seat, of course. But with so many car seats on the market, how do you pick the one that's best for you and your baby? Safety's job one for any car seat, with baby's comfort and your convenience running a close second and third. But will it fit your lifestyle? Your car? An airplane seat? Or an Uber? Will you need a different seat for each of your cars, or just an extra base? Will it be a heavy lift, and will you be able to lift it up neatly and snap it into the matching stroller base without waking your sleeping bundle? Can you use it with a stroller at all? Can you borrow a car seat from your friend, or use the one your preschooler outgrew? Should it be for newborns only, or a convertible that fits your baby as she grows? And most of all, will you need to go back and get an engineering degree or even one in rocket science just to be sure you're installing it right? Today, we've got all your car seat bases and basics covered. I am so excited to welcome the world expert on car seats. She's a pediatrician who has also been studying car seats for over 20 years and says she has installed over 15,000 of them. Which honestly is 15,000 more than I have. Dr. Lisa Bayer, who you might know as the car seat lady. She is a legend and a lifesaver, literally. And she does all of this for one reason only, to help parents keep their little ones safe. She has absolutely no financial ties to any car seat manufacturers, which only makes me love her more. Lisa, first of all, car seats run in your family, I've heard.
Yes.
You got the car seat bug from your mom.
Correct.
Who was a trailblazer in car seat safety, which is awesome in and of itself. So tell us a little bit about how you became the car seat lady after first being a pediatrician.
I got involved with car seats pretty early on in that my mother has been involved since I was around 4 or 5 years old, originally just helping parents become aware that car seats were out on the market and encouraging them to use them. And then it evolved to helping parents use them properly. She would have families come over to her house almost every day and help them install the seats properly. So I would get to play with the kids so that the parents could pay attention. And then my senior year of high school, I went to a school where for a month we had to do an unpaid internship. We didn't have classes that month and I didn't know what I was going to do. And my mother is a labor and delivery nurse. My mother kept saying, why don't you just work on the nursery floor of the hospital where I work and just teach the parents what to do with their car seats? And my friends were shadowing doctors or lawyers or accountants, and I could do that for 2 hours, but not a whole month. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And so it came the day where you had to put down on the form what you were going to do. And I put it down that I was going to help the parents with their car seats. And we're now, this month is 23 years later. And that internship completely changed my life. Because before that, I had never actually helped the parents with the seats. And I really wasn't that interested in it. But it got me hooked. It's an interesting opportunity to be able to work with parents at special moments in their life. And it's also instant gratification in that you take a seat that usually has several errors that you know could cause harm, and you educate the parent, you give them information and skills, and then they're able to make the changes to keep their child safe.
There are plenty of things about being pregnant and having a baby that are inherently overwhelming. But right up there is figuring out which car seat to buy. First, you got to figure out which one to buy and then how to install it. So what are the top things parents should consider when making that super important choice?
So I think it's important to stress that the car seat is the only product you're going to buy for the sole purpose of saving your child's life. Hopefully, you'll never need to use it in that capacity, but that is the reason you're buying it. So when thinking about budget and priorities, I think the car seat should be one of the most important purchases that you make, and money should be allotted to that rather than some of the other accessories that maybe you don't need as much of. And when choosing a car seat, I think it's important to choose the car seat first and then the stroller. A lot of times parents choose a stroller and then are like, well, the car seat I wanted doesn't fit onto my stroller, so I'll pick a different seat. I would prioritize the car seat first. With that said, options for car seats are plentiful, way too plentiful, and it's hard to choose. So on our website, which is thecarseatlady.com, we've done things differently than most sites, where most sites will give you 10 to 15 seats and they'll give a brief review of each one. We have picked 3 seats in each category that we think are great options that fall in different price categories. And we tell you why each of them is going to be an excellent choice and help you know that whichever one of those you choose, they're going to be solid choices that are going to be compatible with a wide range of vehicles and many different children.
So just starting with basics, there are 2 types of seats that you could potentially use for a newborn. Can you take us through what those 2 types are and what the difference is and also why you would recommend one over the other?
Yeah. So the one people are going to be most familiar with will be the infant seat. In some parts of the country, it's called a pumpkin seat. That's the seat that kind of looks like a bucket with a handle. It's the one that clicks in and out of a base, typically, that stays in the car, and the carrier can click on and off of a stroller, typically. Those are often called infant seats. I prefer to call them rear-facing only seats, in that many of them last beyond infancy. Some kids will get beyond their first birthday in them. Those seats, reasons to choose an infant seat would be for convenience. That's the first thing. And that you can buckle the baby up in the house, straps nice and snug, and then bring them out to the car and just drop the carrier into the base. And also in cold climates, it can make things easier to do. So it can be much easier to dress the baby in the house, get them in thin, tight layers, buckled snug, and then put blankets on top to bring the child out to a cold car rather than having to bring the child to the car, take off the coat.
And it's important to point out, as you did, that the layers should be thin. I just want to reiterate that because, it's not safe to have the extra padding on the baby because the car seat, it won't be as snug a fit.
Exactly. The straps of the car seat have to be really snug. I like to remind parents that this is a harness the child's life depends on, because oftentimes parents, their first reaction is, oh my God, that's really snug to the body, or they'll say it's really tight. It is supposed to be tight. Like if you were going to jump out of a plane, no one says, I think my harness is a little tight. Let's loosen it up a little bit.
That's a great analogy. And I love it.
But the forces that the body feels at 30 miles an hour are the same as if you jumped out of a 3rd-story window. So you would want that harness to be really snug. And puffy clothes, what happens is when you buckle the baby in a puffy coat or snowsuit and you tighten the straps, you're not able to take most of the puff out. But crash forces are extreme. They crumple the steel of the car and they easily push all the extra puff, which is just air, out of the clothes, and then leave the straps way too loose for the child's body when it most counts.
The other car seat option, of course, is the convertible.
Convertible seat, yes. So a convertible seat is one that starts out rear facing and then converts to forward facing. Some of those will also have later stages as well. They might be called 3-in-1s or 4-in-1s, where sometimes the 3rd or 4th stage is a booster stage as well. The convertible seat, or the 3-in-1 and 4-in-1s, those are seats that are designed to go rear-facing for much older kids as well. So they'll usually have starting weights around 5 pounds. But it's important to note that just because a seat says it starts at 5 pounds, whether it's an infant seat or a convertible seat, some of them are going to fit a 5-pound baby better than others. Just like when you buy clothes for the baby and you buy 3 outfits that all say newborn size and one is too small, one's just right, and one is swimming on the baby, you'll realize that sizing is an imprecise science. So it doesn't matter the size of the seat you pick. It more matters how the internal dimensions are of the straps and just some of the contouring of the seat. Some are going to be better for head position for a small baby. If there's a headrest in the seat that pushes the child's head forward, that's going to be more problematic in that it tends to push the chin down to the chest on the little ones. Some convertible seats work fabulously for newborns, some don't. Some infant seats work fabulously for small babies, and some don't.
So all car seats go through rigorous safety testing, but can you tell us a little bit about how those tests actually work?
The government has what's called federal motor vehicle safety standards. There's many of them. 213 is the standard that applies to car seats, and 225 as well. In that, it details not only the crash testing that the car seat has to undergo, but other regulations such as the labeling. You might notice that some of the wording on the car seat's labels is the same between seats. That's because the government sometimes specifies the exact sentence that must appear in the manual or on the stickers. But let's talk about the crash testing. So car seats in the U.S. are required to pass a frontal crash test at approximately 30 miles per hour. And the way it works is the car seat manufacturer sends their car seat to an independent government-approved crash test lab. And if the car seat passes, then the manufacturer is allowed to sell it in the U.S. And then the government will come back within a year or two, usually, of the car seat hitting the market. They'll buy the seat from Target or Bye-Bye Baby or wherever. They'll send it to an independent government-approved crash test lab, run the same test, and make sure that the manufacturer was on the up and up with the seat truly passing. One thing to be aware of for parents is that they should not be getting seats from Alibaba or other places that are shipping directly from China. Are often shipping seats that are not crashworthy. Crashworthy means, does the seat protect in a crash? And so they should be getting seats from places that they know of. So Target, Walmart, Bye Bye Baby. Try to support local independent family-owned stores. So there's a whole network called Brixy, which is independent stores.
Okay, so parents beware. That's yes. Very important information to have. Now, you touched a little bit about the head position, and it's something that I always warn parents about. If the baby's spending a lot of time in an infant seat or in a car seat or in a swing, that sometimes exactly. The head position is unsafe. And this is, of course, especially true in a car seat. Can you talk us a little bit about how we know a baby's positioned properly in a car seat?
Yeah. So first, let's talk about what is and is not a safe head position. So the one dangerous position for a baby is when their chin is down on their chest. And that means like the bony part of the chin, not all the extra rolls of fat that some babies have. Safe positions for the head, looking straight ahead is perfectly fine, but so is turned to the side. And I mention that because a lot of parents feel like the head has to be immobilized in a direct head-on straight position, but that does not have to be. Turned to the side is fine. So what's going to keep the child's body and head in a good position? The first thing is when you sit the baby down in the seat, you want to make sure that the child is sitting all the way back. A lot of babies are put in a slouched position. You want to make sure that before you start tightening the straps, take the child's little thighs and push them back and down so that they are flush with the back of the seat. Whether the child is in the car seat in the car or in the house or on the stroller, wherever it is, it's critically important that the child remains buckled snug. And when we're tightening the straps, the first thing I want to go over is how to tighten the straps, because a lot of parents know one of the steps, but there's two other steps that are commonly forgotten, which leaves slack in the belly and the hip area inadvertently. So when you buckle the baby, everyone is familiar with the tail at the bottom of the seat that you use to tighten the straps. But if all you do is tighten that, you'll get the straps snug at the shoulders, but there will be lots of slack in the belly and the hip area. So here are the two extra steps I want you to add. And we have a video that shows how to buckle a newborn that goes over this because it's easier to see it than to hear it. So you're going to push the chest clip all the way down to the belly right after you buckle the baby's straps. We want to get the chest clip out of the way. So shove it down all the way towards the crotch buckle. Then take the shoulder straps right near where the baby's chest is and pinch the straps and pull firmly upwards. That's going to gather all the slack out of the hips and the belly area. It gathers it to the shoulders. And now when you pull the tail, it's going to remove the slack. And then we're going to repeat those steps. We're going to push the chest clip down to the belly. We're going to pull the shoulder straps up to gather the slack, and we're going to pull the tail. We're going to do that a few times until when we pull up on the shoulder straps, we find no more slack pulling up. That's our first sign that things are in the home stretch. Then we're going to put our index finger right at the baby's collarbone area. The first thing we're going to check is that it's not too tight, because I know that's what everyone worries about. So if you put your index finger at the collarbone and you can push it all the way through and see your fingertip out the other side, that means that it is not too tight. And then too loose, I like to, while my finger is there, I lift my finger up and away from the body, keeping it under the strap. If I can imagine that I could get a second finger, like a salute, at the collarbone area, then that would be too loose. But either way, you really want to make sure there's no slack anywhere in the harness.
Got it. Now, a lot of parents on What to Expect Instagram did ask about inserts and towels to support the head.
Yes. So in terms of the head support, the key thing is going to be choosing a seat that's fitting your baby properly. So the seat having a good internal dimension is really important. Besides that, as far as putting towels or inserts alongside the baby's body or head, the first thing is you should not be buying anything separate for the car seat that did not come with it. So you'll see an entire market of products, extra head inserts, extra covers for the straps, sleeping bags for the winter. If it did not come in the original box with your car seat and it is not in some way directly made by your car seat manufacturer for that specific car seat, despite what the marketing on the product might say, it is not safe to use. It's a completely unregulated market. So you're going to see a lot of them sold because that is where companies can make money. So I think it's important for parents to be aware of where they're being upsold on things that are not necessary. Anything that you're putting in the car seat besides the baby and a few thin layers of clothes should be able to be put on completely after the child is buckled and buckled snug.
That's really important because so many parents worry about that. Now we've got bases and seat belts and latches. There's so many different ways to install a car seat.
Yes.
So what makes the most secure installation? Would it be a car seat with a base or installing it without a base? How would you go about choosing the best system for you?
So for a parent who has their own car, they're going to find that having a seat that stays installed is going to be the most convenient. So either the base that you then click the carrier in and out of, where you're hopefully going to read the manual and you're going to take the time and make sure you've installed it properly and then have it checked by a certified car seat technician, or you're going to have a convertible seat, which you'll do the same thing and leave that installed. Using a carrier without the base can be very safe. And so if a family lives in an urban environment, like New York City, for example, and wants to take an Uber, or you're flying across the country to visit grandparents, you know, when COVID is hopefully over, in those situations, taking the carrier without the base is really convenient. Assuming you have a seat that can be installed without the base, there are a few seats that cannot, but most infant seats can be installed that way without the base. Then you use the seatbelt, and there's a belt path around the carrier that can allow the carrier to be a standalone car seat. But you do have to install it every time you get in the car when you're using it without the base. And so that can be inconvenient if you're, you know, running seven errands that day.
But if you do travel a lot on airplanes, for instance, and a baby should have their own seat with a FAA-approved car seat.
Correct.
Buckled into that, and then you can take that car seat.
Yes. So if you are a family who's going to be traveling in other cars or taking frequent airplane trips where you're going to be wanting to use the carrier without the base, we're going to recommend that you choose a carrier that has what's called a European belt path. That's the path that the seatbelt's going to take around the car seat, as opposed to one that has an American belt path.
And it sounds really cool.
Yes.
Can you explain the latch system just a little bit?
So LATCH is an acronym that stands for lower anchors and tethers for children. So LATCH has parts in the car and parts on the child's car seat. So first, the parts in the car. In basically every car in the U.S. since 2003, if you sit in the back seat, typically just on the two side seats, let's say you sit on the back passenger side of your car and you stick your hand into the seat crack, right on either side of your hip, you're going to feel a metal U-shaped bar. Those are the lower anchors. And then the part, the tether, is an anchor that secures the head of the car seat to the car. And the tether anchor is a little more variable in its location in the car. If you have a sedan, it's easy to find the tether anchor. It's always located on that shelf right below the rear windshield, the package shelf. And there's one for each of the seating positions typically, in that the cars are required to have the lower anchors in at least two seating positions and the tethers in at least three seating positions. So usually in the average car, the center will have a tether anchor, but no lower anchors. And the side seats will have both tether anchors and lower anchors. For families who have minivans and SUVs with a third row, do not expect to find the latch system in possibly any and almost certainly not in all of the positions. Just because you have a tether anchor in that position does not mean you'll have lower anchors.
Now, how confident can a parent be that their seat is correctly installed if they do it themselves? Now, there's the myth that you go to the fire station or the police station and they're going to know exactly whether the seat is properly installed or not. Who should you trust?
There are some police officers and firefighters who are nationally certified child passenger safety technicians, but if they're not trained, it would just be like going to your plumber or your electrician or the server at the deli for help with your car seat. So what I want to stress is that knowing how to install a car seat properly is a learned skill. It is not innate. It does not come as part of the job description for anyone's job. And so just because you're wearing a police officer's uniform does not mean you know what to do with a car seat. And just because you work at a car dealership does not mean you know what to do with a car seat. So with that said, we have numerous studies that show that parents' confidence in their car seat installation bears no correlation with how well they actually installed it. Many parents are very confident in seats that they have installed very improperly. So what I want to suggest to the parents listening to this is whether you are sure you've done it right or sure you've done it wrong, please have it checked by someone trained. In that our misuse rate has been over 90% for decades now. Please do not assume that it is correct, because in all likelihood, if you were a betting person, it is not correct, just statistically.
Yeah. So the car seat itself should not be able to move more than an inch in either side or front to back.
Correct. And I think what's important for parents to remember is crash forces are extreme. You want it to be really tight to the car. The looser the car seat is, the more it moves, the less it's able to absorb the energy of the crash into its shell. And it also means that the child's body moves more and is more likely to hit hard things. So tighter is better.
How long are newborns supposed to stay in their infant's seat? And how do you know that baby is ready to graduate to a convertible seat in the rear-facing position?
Uh-huh. So infant seats, the rear-facing only seats, are basically always outgrown in height before weight. Like, you could have the Pillsbury Doughboy of babies, and you will still have a baby that's too tall before too heavy. You'll see high weight limits of 30 to 35 pounds on most of these seats, but children are typically too tall, somewhere between 9 to 15 months. It varies by seat. Obviously, some kids are too tall sooner than that, and some kids get longer. But somewhere around your baby's first birthday, anticipate that they're too tall. And what too tall means is that the child's head is within 1 inch of the top of the car seat. The reason for that 1 inch rule is that a child who's rear facing, the crash forces are typically going to pull the child's body up the shell of the seat. As the child's body slides up, the head starts to slide up as well. We don't want the head to slide off the seat in any way. And so that 1 inch is kind of a margin of safety. And one thing that is not a marker of being too tall is your legs hanging off the edge of the seat. The legs being long does not matter. The legs can do whatever they want to do. They can sit cross-legged, frog-legged, put their legs straight up, drape one over the side, suck on their toes. I want to stress this in that we know that it's a common misconception about when a child is too big for the infant seat. And then it's also something that drives people to turn children forward facing in their convertible seat much too soon. So the reason the legs are not an issue, first, it is not uncomfortable. Children's bodies are not the same as adult bodies. They're not just smaller versions. Children who have not gone through puberty yet have very different bone structure and ligaments. They have a lot more range of motion in their joints, especially in the infant and toddler age. They can bend their ankles, their knees, and their hips in ways that even if you're very proficient at yoga, you simply cannot do because your body is not the same.
Yeah, how many of us could put our foot in our mouth?
Exactly. It's also not dangerous for the legs, and I want to stress this as well, and that when a child is rear-facing, let's take a frontal crash, everything moves to the front of the car. So a forward-facing child or adult is going to get held back by the shoulder straps, the seatbelt, or their car seat straps, but nothing holds the head back. And so the head gets whipped forward and whipped back in a way that is not very pleasant. Young children have a difficult time withstanding that, and it can result in injuries to the spinal cord if the child is too young. So that's why we keep them rear facing. When the child is rear facing, they still move to the front of the car. But now what happens is that the shell of the seat cradles the child's head, neck, and back. Kind of like if you watch a baseball game and you watch a catcher catch a fastball, they catch the ball into their glove goes back a little bit to cradle it because there's a lot of force with that, you know, 90 mile per hour fastball. In a similar way, the child's body gets cradled by the shell of the seat, the shell of the seat being like the catcher's glove. And so what's going to happen is the child's legs are going to kind of tuck up into like a cannonball position during a crash. That is not a mechanism of injury. And so what ends up happening is the child's legs are super scrunched in the moment of impact. It does not cause any injuries to the child. And so however scrunched the legs start out while you're driving, they get even more scrunched and it does not hurt the child.
So we have a ton of questions from the What to Expect community, not surprisingly. The first one is, can I reuse a car seat from one baby to the next? And can I borrow from a friend?
Okay, so seats expire. It ranges between typically 6 to 10 years. So first, make sure it has not expired. You also need to make sure it was never in a crash. So if you get it at a thrift store, you can't ask the history. Whereas if you get it from your sister-in-law, and she was the only one who'd used the seat, you can ask the history of it. And then you want to make sure that all the parts are there and in good working order. And if it was recalled, that the recall was addressed and fixed.
What's the safest place to put a car seat in the vehicle?
Whatever spot you get it most tightly installed is going to be the safest spot.
So you don't have to worry about side airbags or versus?
No, as long as the child is properly restrained, we haven't seen any indication that side airbags are dangerous to children. And in fact, they are almost certainly beneficial to a child who is properly restrained.
Is there a maximum length of time you can be driving around with your baby in the seat? If you're on a really long trip, how often should you plan on stopping for breaks to give baby a break? And you?
The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that babies stay in their car seat for no longer than 90 minutes at a time. Now, there's nothing magical between 89 to 91 minutes. So if you're driving and the next rest stop is 10 minutes away and you're at the 90-minute mark, don't freak out. But this also counts when you're using the car seat, not in the car. So when you get home and the baby's fallen asleep in the car seat, we want you to take the baby out of the car seat and put them into their safe sleeping environment, their bassinet or crib. We don't want you leaving the baby in the car seat.
Yeah, and it's not the best place for a nap, as well as babies often sleep in a semi-reclining position, not the best place for a nap. Are car seat mirrors a safety risk or are they safe to use?
So not only mirrors, but now there's a lot of targeted ads to moms with cameras that can let you see the baby. The most important thing to think about is driver distraction. That is the root cause of a large majority of crashes. I do not recommend mirrors, cameras, or any other thing. I want the driver to completely ignore the baby. That might make many drivers nervous. Whether the driver is the only adult in the car or there's other adults, the baby does not need to be monitored by the driver, and everyone will be safer. Both those in the car and those sharing the road with you will be safer if the driver pays no attention to the baby.
Absolutely. And speaking of keeping a baby happy in a car seat, some babies love it and some babies
and others hate it.
And
yes,
what are your best tips?
I have a whole toy guide, actually. I've put my pediatrician skills to use, and I have a travel toy guide on my website to help guide parents to choosing toys that will be good for travel, and they're all battery-free, educational, and engaging. Other things to think about is to use music that your child enjoys. That can be very soothing. For young babies, you'll see in the video that shows you how to buckle the baby, that I then swaddle the child over the strap. So they're fully buckled and fully snug and then swaddled over top. Swaddling, especially an under 2 month old in the car seat, can often keep them much calmer than they would be otherwise.
Keeping in mind that every baby's different. So there are some who love the car seat, some who hate the car seat, some who love swaddling, some who hate swaddling. So you're just going to have to figure this out as you go along.
Yes. For children who are in the over 6 to 9 month age group that are in an infant seat and have started to really not like it, a lot of times that child can be made happier being moved into a convertible seat, where some of the convertible seats will allow them to sit higher up off the vehicle seat and slump more upright now that they can sit upright unsupported. And so they'll get a better view out the windows.
But like you said, music soothes the savage baby, right?
Yes.
Often. Depending yes. on, you know, babies like different kinds of music. So experiment.
Yes. And you know what? Old MacDonald had a farm, and my sister, who is a neonatologist, gave me this trick with her kids. She said, you know what? Just go through the alphabet. And if you can't think of an animal with that name, make it up and make up the sound.
I love
the crazier, the better. And you know what? It works.
Baby won't know the difference.
Exactly. Baby won't know the difference.
How do you know it's time for your child to face forward? Now, I mean, yes. I have one super tiny grandson who's mm-hmm. about to turn 8. I'm not sure if he should be facing forward at this point. He's so tiny. And I have one 2.5-year-old grandson who's like, he's about 4.5. So what specifically should you look for?
Yes. So when we talk about rear facing to forward facing, we want the child to have outgrown their convertible seat rear facing before they turn forward facing. So we are not talking about being too big for the infant seat. We're talking about the convertible seat. So the first thing is, too big for a convertible seat rear facing is either too heavy, which is usually somewhere between 40 to 50 pounds is the weight limit for most seats now. There are some differences. And then too tall is usually how the child is going to outgrow it, where it depends on your seat, but typically when the head is 1 inch below the top of the seat, then they're too tall. The American Academy of Pediatrics is recommending that kids remain rear facing until they've reached the height or the weight maximum for their convertible seat before it turns forward facing. The longer the better. Many states, about a third of them, now require children to remain rear facing until at least age 2. But ideally, 2 should be thought of as a minimum.
Is there a maximum?
The maximum for that child's seat.
Okay, got it. When is the time to switch to a booster seat? Again, it's a matter of weight and size.
Yes, weight and size factors in, as well as some other things. So I want to define what a booster is first, because a lot of parents are confused. So a booster seat is any seat where the child sits on it and wears the vehicle seatbelt across them as their restraint. That's in contrast to a car seat. A car seat is any seat the child sits on and uses the 5-point harness that comes with the car seat as their restraint. So children will switch from a car seat to a booster seat when they've met the following 3 minimums. They should be at least 5, they should be at least 40 pounds, and most importantly, they need to be mature enough to sit properly in the booster seat during the entire ride. So when they're sitting, they should not be slouching, they shouldn't be leaning over, they shouldn't be messing with the seatbelt. And then a child will remain in the booster seat until the seatbelt fits them properly without the help of the booster, and their body fits properly on the vehicle seat without the help of the booster. The lap belt is the most important thing that's going to depend on whether your child comes out of the booster seat at the right time, in that it is the lap belt being in the wrong place being across the child's belly rather than low on the lap where it will catch the hip bones during a crash. There's something called the five-step test that talks about five questions to assess whether the child is ready to ride without a booster. Just know that for the average child around age 10, about 50% of kids can ride safely without a booster. So it is a lot later than people think. Even though your state law might say 6 or 7 or 8, your child can come out of a booster, most kids need it a lot longer than the state laws.
And backseat until age
13 is what's recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics. And when the child does move to the front seat, not only should they be at least 13, they should be mature enough to not be a driver distraction.
Oh, okay. So a typical teenager is going to be a problem.
That child in a few years is going to be in the driver's seat. And so that's a teaching moment for the parent to set expectations for what is the behavior of the driver by helping the child learn what's the proper behavior of the passenger so that they're not endangering the driver.
So I got to put it out there because we got a lot of pregnant moms on what to expect. And I would love for you to remind expecting moms why it's important to wear a seatbelt, as uncomfortable as they might feel it is, and the proper way to wear one when you have a belly.
So the seatbelt goes the same part of your body at all times, whether you're pregnant or not. The lap belt needs to go low and flat on the tops of your thighs. The shoulder belt goes across your chest and rests between your neck and your shoulder. Never under your arm, never behind your back. Those make the seatbelt completely ineffective and increase your risk for head injury and chest injury. So think of your seatbelt worn properly as your baby's first car seat. Because studies show that the risk of mom or baby being hurt while babies in utero are significantly reduced by mom wearing a seatbelt. So one thing I want to address, because there's a lot of targeted ads on Facebook and Instagram, there's a lot of seatbelt positioners for pregnant moms. They should not be used. I cannot be clearer about this. They're completely unregulated by the government. Wear the seatbelt as it was designed. Simply lift up the belly, put the lap belt low, snug it up, and put the belly on over top.
And I just want to ask, the most common question we have in the community is, does expensive mean better and safer?
No.
Okay.
In fact, right now in the U.S., the most expensive car seat performs the poorest in the government's crash testing. So no. Now, some safety features do add cost to the seat. So steel is more expensive than plastic. So some safety features require steel, like a load leg or rigid latch. So you will notice that some of those seats are more expensive than other seats, but price is not an indication of safety.
Alisa, thank you so much for all of this important information and for being here today. And for everyone listening, tell us one more time where we can find you and all of that great information about car seats.
So our website is thecarseatlady.com. We're also on Instagram, thecarseatlady, and we have a YouTube channel with lots of installation and instructional videos. That's the car seat lady with the number one at the end.
That's great. You're going to hold our hands through this whole process.
Yes, yes.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot and big hugs.
Yes, thank you so much.
Ooh, baby love, my baby love, I need you, oh how I need you.
Thanks for listening. Remember, I'm always here for you. What to expect is always here for you. We're all in this together. For more on what you heard on today's episode, visit whattoexpect.com/podcast. You can also check out What to Expect When You're Expecting, What to Expect the First Year, and the What to Expect app. And we want to hear from you. Connect with us on our community message board or on our social media. You can find me at Heidi Murkoff and Emma at Emma Bing WTE. And of course, at What to Expect. Baby Love is performed by Riley Biederer. What to Expect is a production of iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
In my arms, why don't you stay?